Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This week, we're revisiting some of our more intriguing episodes of 2023. And in the food world, the surge of food halls in the Valley was one of the hottest trends of the year. Eat your heart out. The food hall at Durango Station, which just opened this month, it's the latest to make a big splash. And since this episode aired, the Rio has also announced plans for a new food hall to open early next year. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, we bring back a conversation that former co-host Vogue Robinson had with food influencer Phil Zhang, aka Las Vegas Phil, about what food halls are bringing to Las Vegas. With some very high-profile national restaurants jumping in, it's safe to say that this is not your old-school food court and might even signal the end of the famous Las Vegas buffet. It's Thursday, December 28th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about.
Today, we've got Phil Zhang on the show, better known, though, as Las Vegas Phil. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vogue. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been scrolling through your Instagram page and looking at all the good things. I think I found brisket that I'm about to go try. So thank you for your ministry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The pleasure is literally all mine.
Right. I need a work day with you, too. So I've been hearing about food halls in Las Vegas. And before we started prepping for this interview, I was like, what is a food hall? So can you please break this down for me and the other people who do not know? What's a food hall? How do they work?
Absolutely. So food halls are basically just an elevated version of a food court. Mm-hmm. Instead of just slapping hot dog on a stick and a Cinnabon, you have carefully curated gourmet restaurants, chefs with years and years of experience kind of going in there and doing their own thing. So it's really just a really cool, diverse, wide range of cuisines. That's what would be to be expected in a food hall. And I think there's some really good ones in Vegas now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all about that. You said carefully curated, right? So who does the curating?
Well, whoever does is a really lucky person. I remember when Block 16 at Cosmopolitan opened, maybe in 2018, I believe this was, the executives who were there were saying they drove to every state, tried a bunch of street food, and then whittled 100 potential people in the food hall to, I think they have like 6 or 8. So that's a great job, really cool experience. And so I think Block 16 at Cosmopolitan was really the groundbreaking of food halls in Las Vegas, and they really did a great job. Hattie B's, which is definitely the most popular hot chicken in America still.
Right. I was like, I just saw something about them.
Yeah, and what a coup to get one of the most popular restaurants in Nashville all the way to Vegas. How did they convince them? Because there were so many other people that were interested in franchising them and all that kind of stuff. And that continues to be the most popular stop at that food court. And really, all the businesses kind of rally around Hattie B's, it seems like. So since that happened, and after the pandemic, buffets weren't that favorable anymore. And so a lot of places like Aria converted their buffets into the Proper Eats food hall, which just opened in December. And there's more to come. I think a lot of the buffets are kind of going to be phased out, and it's just going to turn into food halls now.
It's like, wait, which one is it?
Yeah. If I see a Panda Express, it's not a food hall. It's a food court.
Ah, okay. So it's really about the caliber, okay? We're getting the good stuff. So, I mean, as someone who's been covering food in Vegas since 2016, why do you think food halls are so big right now? Like, what's the hype? And why would somebody come all the way from Nashville to put something into, an upscale food court?
Sure. Let me just preface this by saying I'm a total food snob. I don't do all-you-can-eat sushi. I don't do all-you-can-eat barbecue. I haven't been to a Las Vegas buffet probably since 2019, and that's because my friends made me go. So buffets are not my thing.
Okay.
At all. Why would I want to pay extra $60 or $80, whatever it is now, for a whole section that I'm just going to ignore? And now I can go get the best of whatever is offered just in that one station and pay for that one station. And I think that's cool.
Why do you think now is the time for everybody to really be interested in food halls? Like, I've seen like 6 different articles about food halls in Vegas, things you need to know about food halls in Vegas. This new one is opening up. So why now?
Well, because buffets are just not as favorable anymore. If you go to a buffet in Las Vegas, like Wynn and Caesars, the quality is not the same as it was 3 years ago at all. I think there's maybe only 6 to 8 buffets left. If you look at places like Orleans and Palace Station, places that used to be very popular with locals, I mean, those are all gone. I think from a cost perspective for resorts, this is just a smarter way to go. It's a great way to connect with brands that have never been in the Las Vegas market, and hopefully they flourish and, you know, new things can happen with them, whether it's other resorts or a real big brick and mortar style restaurant. It constantly amazes me that Las Vegas is turned into the Olympics of food, basically. If you go down any single street, you have high caliber chefs who formerly worked on the Strip that are opening up their own places and doing just amazing things out there. And I think it's more of a cost thing than anything else for the resort. That's why they're hot now. But they've done a great job putting it together. And I love the fact that if I have 6 to 8 friends who can't decide on where to eat, the food hall is really just the best place. Because if you can't find anything there, then you need to find new friends.
So that's the thing I was thinking about when that idea. Like, for me, I'm not a food snob. I'm here for it. But I loved as a kid being able to go to Hot Dog and the Stick to get my green lemonade, because I always found that so fascinating. So I can get my green lemonade over here, but I can go get my orange chicken over here, and then I can get a slice of Sbarro's over there. This feels like the grown-up version of being able to choose what you want. But it sounds like you're saying that food halls are really replacing the Las Vegas buffet because the costs, I think it's probably some things connected to the pandemic as well. Just, you know, open food, open air, all those different precautions people want to take now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if they could have Prince Street and Shang Artisan Noodle offer unlimited bowls of, you know, beef noodle soup and pizza at a buffet, they probably would. But I mean, those brands wouldn't want to do that ever. So right. It's really the next best thing.
And they get to keep, so you get to keep your autonomy, your identity as a restaurant, and with a feel and a vibe. Your food still gets maintained at that high level quality, but you're still in a space where there's a bunch of other restaurants around.
Yes, yes. And then places like Famous Foods or Resorts World has done some cool stuff. They have that really cool disco ball restroom. Mm. Proper Eats has a speakeasy behind the donut shop.
Oh, of course.
Oh yeah, of course.
I've never been, but interesting. Yeah,
got to do it for the gram. So those are kind of cool things that they've added. So yeah, there's a whole other layer that they're trying to put on with all that stuff too.
But what do you think we're losing if we lose like the iconic Vegas buffet?
Well, a lot of YouTube vloggers are going to be losing a lot of content because the buffets always smash for most of the YouTube vloggers. But I think, yeah, one of the most popular random DMs that I get all the time is, where's my favorite buffet? And so the idea of Vegas and Vegas buffets kind of go hand in hand. But there's still enough around for people to want to do that. I mean, Wynn, Cosmopolitan still probably remain the two best buffets on the Strip. And I don't think those are ever going away. Caesars as well. If anything, they're just going to keep charging more. Yeah. I mean, the Bacchanal Buffet is... for dinner is what? Almost $100.
Yeah, I was like, it's about $89 last time I went, but that was pre-2020.
Yeah. So I think that's just going to keep happening with the buffets. The price is just going to keep going up. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I mean, there are a couple of great buffet options off the Strip. Like, for example, some people don't know about like Mint Indian Bistro. Mm-hmm. This is a great daily lunch buffet for like $18.
Super good.
Of course, all the all-you-can-eat sushi places, which are just constantly killing it. But they're serving like the lowest quality cuts. I mean, they're not interested in the satisfaction of the customers. They just want to get them as full as possible. Korean barbecue places offering all you can eat are using non-grade beef these days. And people don't know that. But I don't think a lot of the Las Vegans even care about the quality. They just want to be full. I see that in the comments all the time. If I go to a fancy restaurant, oh, I bet you had a cheeseburger after this crazy mini 9-course dinner that I had. All you can eat buffets will still be around, it just on a much lesser scale than ever before.
So who are the food halls for?
I think it's primarily geared towards families, up-and-coming gourmands that perhaps aren't ready to spend, you know, $500 a person a kame. Or where they can go to Teka Bar at Cosmopolitan and still have a great sushi meal for $38 per person. And if you just want to say, if you're only in town for a couple days, 3 days, it's a great way to hit up a bunch of different eats in a really convenient way. Personally, for me, though, I view food halls as kind of like a lunch thing for me. I don't view it as a dinner option just because it's too casual. Anyone who would consider taking a date there should probably reconsider that date. Although I would say Proper Eats has done a good job. I mean, they've set up a really nice bar area. There are more loungy-ish seats than like the standard table with the pull-out chairs. So I think they're trying to get to that.
And which one is that one again?
Proper Eats.
Proper Eats.
Food hall at Aria. It replaced the entire buffet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've got some interesting concepts in there. They have a sushi bar, which I'm actually checking out Friday. They have Pizza Aoki, Steve Aoki's pizza concept. There's a Jewish deli and what else? A Korean fried chicken fusion restaurant called Soul Bird.
Oh my God.
And a few others as well. So, but every time I pass by there, it looks like it's hopping. It's just a good place to hang out.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Other than Proper Eats, like which food halls in Las Vegas would you recommend and why?
For sure. Block 16, because it is the original. It does have Hattie B's. It has Ghost Donkey, which is that secret mezcal bar.
Ooh.
They also have Bong Bar, which is David Chang Momofuku's shawarma concept, which is really interesting.
Okay, David. Okay.
Yeah. And then Teka Bar, which is my favorite casual restaurant. It's the sushi restaurant in the food court. So basically, they just sell sushi hand rolls. They roll up the sushi, place it on your little paper mat, and you have to eat it within 90 seconds, basically. And then they just bring the next one. So it's a really quick, casual lunch or dinner or late night that only takes about 20 minutes, depending on how long the line is.
Right. And I can imagine that being great for people who work in the casinos, too. Like, this is a great option for grabbing your lunch really quickly, but in an entirely different format with some better food options too.
Totally. And then Famous Foods at Resorts World offers a lot of great, primarily Asian food options that aren't available in Vegas at all. So I think that's a really cool place to kind of check out certain items, you know, stretch out, broaden your gourmet taste bud horizons and try a bunch of different stuff there. Yeah, those would definitely be the top three.
So now, okay, we got to do some big dreaming. This is like my favorite thing to do. Is okay. If you are the curator of a new food hall in Las Vegas, where's it going to be at? And then what are all the foods? What are the places? What's going to be in your dream Vegas food hall?
Sure. So let's say 6 concepts.
Okay.
And I would, location-wise, a place that doesn't have a food hall already, put it in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I still feel like Miracle Mile Shops is kind of a wasteland. I would actually put it there.
Wasteland. Dang. You know, you're a harsh one, Phil.
I know, you ain't
holding no punches, bro.
Sorry.
I'm not mad at it. I just wasn't ready.
I walked through there and it still feels like Aladdin to me. Like, you know, they try to dress it up and all that stuff, but at its core, I still feel like it's just an average place. And I think that's such a great location. So I would actually put a food hall there. Mm-hmm. if we're talking about a place that don't have one already. Number one off the top of my head for a food hall choice would be Mamoun's Falafel. I lived in New York City for 10 years. I lived in the same NYU dorm for 4 years, specifically because this falafel restaurant was within a 4-minute walking
food
distance.
Food, location, location, location. Okay.
Yeah. And it is by far, arguably, the most popular falafel brand in the U.S. I would definitely bring them mm-hmm. in. So that would be number one. I also love Joe's Pizza. Sorry, I'm an East Coast guy. So Joe's Pizza, which is my favorite pizza in New York City, I would bring them in. I'm sure a lot of people have tried and they just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Also, again, for being East Coast, because I'm just thinking things I can't get in Las Vegas. Boston Sail Loft, which is the best lobster clam chowder place that I've been to in Massachusetts, I would actually have them in as well. So there'd be three. I would probably do a fancier sushi concept besides like the casual roll-up place, maybe like a real omakase style restaurant that you can get in and get out within an hour. And I think Kame, which is on Spring Mountain, mm-hmm. Would be my choice for that. Chef Eric Kim is doing a lot of cool and interesting things. And you know, he's just one of my favorites and I would love to have him in there too. Mm. Let me think. Two more.
Dessert.
Oh yeah. See, I am not a dessert guy. I don't have any.
Oh no.
I would go with an extra appetizer every single time over a dessert.
I don't know if we could be not even oranges. Like what are you saying to me right now?
I don't know. Fruit's not a dessert.
Fruit is definitely a dessert. Fruit has like X amount of sugar that is comparable to certain desserts. Well, don't play fruit in the streets like that.
Okay. Well, in that case, I don't know. Have you ever had those crazy genetically modified Japanese fruits that are super expensive? These are insane.
Like, had them, but I'm not above it.
Yeah, $300 watermelons, $80 batches of grapes.
Oh, Jesus.
I was just in Japan last August, and there's a bunch of dessert places that incorporate those super high-end expensive fruits into the dessert. I think that would be wild. Yeah, if we could do something like that. And Japanese are obsessed with French cuisine and everything French. It's a huge influence on their desserts. So to do like a high-end fruit, French-Japanese fusion thing would be amazing. Have you ever been to Suzuya?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely one of the best Japanese bakeries around.
Okay.
So kind of like an elevated ingredient version of that, instead of using just great regular American strawberries, go with the crazy pink ones, which are super juicy and quite pricey.
Yeah, I like and that. I'm down for it.
And the last one, probably for a business decision, you probably need at least one breakfast concept.
Hmm.
Even though I rarely leave the house before noon and do brunch or breakfast options.
I was going to say, maybe it should be a brunchy space that, you know, it has a little bit of everything. So because you can transform your breakfast ingredients into more lunch-based. I'm just trying to maintain their business all day long.
right.
This is my process.
I'm convinced I've eaten a Roberto's breakfast burrito at every single hour of the day in the 16 years that I've lived here. So I love breakfast burritos. I don't think Roberto's would be the correct fit, but
no.
Something along those lines would be nice. Yeah, maybe just a general, egg tuck. It's a Southern California egg sandwich brand that's been blowing up over there. And I think perhaps that would be my final restaurant to round out the six.
I like this. I like the idea of if we made some that were like really, really themed. So if we put like in the historic West Side, a bunch of like kind of high end, interesting, like soul food spots. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of, like, the Soulfully Vegan is in the Bay Area, but there's, like, a vegan soul food as well. I feel like that would be super interesting. And I feel like there should be a dessert row somewhere. Like, that, I don't play about my desserts. So I feel like there should be one that's all really cool and interesting desserts and see how that goes. I think that I don't know if this is our wrap up. This is our bonus question. But Durango Station is going to include Vesta Coffee in their food hall. Should Vegas food halls include more local brands, or do you think, nah?
Absolutely, especially for hotel guests. I mean, you see the coffee lines at every place in the morning, and why should Starbucks be collecting that money when a great place like Vesta or Makers and Finders or Coffee Religion or Founders could be getting that dough as well and do really great creative things that would probably surprise a lot of the guests and then make them kind of seek out the brick and mortar spots off the strip when they come back on their next trip or even the next morning if they really like it that much. Mm. So absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. And I like, and now I'm like, oh, we found a brunch spot. I feel like Makers and Finders would be a cute brunch spot inside of your six
yeah,
concept.
Yeah. Or maybe another coffee brand that isn't in Vegas yet, like La Colombe or something like that. That's like a coffee nerd's dream. Mm. And then maybe that'd be number seven on my dream food court list.
Yes, because coffee is also an all day thing for many people. Well, Las Vegas Phil, thank you so much for taking time to be on CityCast Las Vegas. We really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can meet in real life and maybe chow down on some desserts.
Yes. Some fruit.
Some fruit. My wife would be all about this. She's all about the fruit.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, give the gift of free podcasts and share this episode with a friend. Then do us a solid and rate the show. Leave us a review and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah. How about for you? How often do you drink a lot of coffee?
I am not a coffee person at all. I'm mostly here for the sugar and the cream. But tea has been making me happy. So as long as somebody has a tea option, I'm down.
Awesome.